TV.
Discipline is not punishment, and punishment is not discipline. God disciplines us. He disciplines the world also, but he does not punish. The word punish concerns the satisfaction of the one inflicting the punishment. To punish is to satisfy one's own need to bring pain to another person because they offended you. And yet we read in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that God is not reckoning the world's offenses to them because of Christ and his work on the cross. If God is not reckoning the world's offenses to them, then how could they possibly be punished for their offenses? You may say, well, surely, Martin Zender, you can't be talking about the tribulation because God's going to punish the world during the tribulation. No, he's not. Punishment doesn't bring any good. Punishment is not remedial. It doesn't even suggest being remedial. It, again, satisfies the inflictor. But God's discipline is always remedial. Hi, I'm Martin Zender, and you're at MZTV. Had one of the commenters on yesterday's show titled, Jesus Christ Was Not Punished for Our Sins. Someone at Tangible Hope, that's the name of this commenter, and I appreciated the comment. I've never seen this person before. I'm glad new people are watching the videos. This person quoted Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. As you might guess, ladies and gentlemen, this is a case where a good translation is essential. Assuming that Tangible Hope took this from the King James Version, I, of course, immediately went to the Concordant Version of the Old Testament. My answer to this commenter was, hello, Tangible. Here is Isaiah 53:5 from the Concordant Version of the Old Testament. Yet he is wounded because of our transgressions and crushed because of our depravities, because on behalf of, like he wouldn't have had to have been the recipient of this treatment had it not been for our transgressions. That's why he went to the cross, because of our transgressions. Nothing here speaks of a substitutionary death, and nothing here, as you will see, speaks of punishment. For the Concordant Version of the Old Testament says, the discipline of our well-being is on him. So where the King James has punishment, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Concordant says, the discipline of our well-being is on him, and with his welts come healing for us. With his welts come healing for us. And the welts weren't God punishing him. The welts were scouring away the sin. Scouring away the sin. Cleansing our iniquities. But let's appreciate that word, discipline. The discipline of our well-being is on him. What a big difference. Because discipline always has the benefit of the person being disciplined in mind. And it is not retributive. It is not for the satisfaction of the one inflicting the discipline. Like, oh, this feels so good to beat you. Oh, you deserve this. No, it's not that at all. It's remedial. Its essence is to fix a problem that cannot be fixed any other way. In fact, you've probably heard me quote this before. Proverbs 20, verse 30. I have not been here in a while. I've taught on this years ago, but this is such an amazing verse. Proverbs 20, verse 30. Welts, and that's exactly what the Concordant, this is from the Concordant Version of the Old Testament. This is exactly the word used by the concordant version in Isaiah 53 with his welts, that is the result of the terrible scourging he received. With his welts come healing for us. How could that possibly be? You want to look at the nuts and bolts of that? Then you can do no better than Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. Welts and injury are the scouring agents against evil. Scouring agents. Welts and injury are the scouring agents against evil. This is what your parents had in mind when they spanked you when you were a kid. They're the scouring agents against evil. And blows, listen to this. This is the second part of verse 30, Proverbs 20. And blows purge the chambers of the inner being. Purge, clean you. Did you ever get a massage that's just a little baby massage and you have a sore back or a sore neck and somebody goes, and they're just barely touching it. And after they're done, you don't feel anything. On the other hand, have you ever had a deep tissue massage where somebody gets their elbow in your spine and just pushes it, or on your shoulder, on your neck, and really puts the pressure on it? It's like, oh, it hurts like crazy. You're actually moaning and groaning in pain. And yet the chambers of your inner being are being purged. This is called deep tissue massage. There's psychological benefit to that. There's psychological benefit to being disciplined by our parents to have welts raised upon you in love as a disciplinary measure is a scouring agent against evil. Being sent to your room is not, or being threatened 101 times is not. Scripture says welts and injury are the scouring agents against evil. These are, by the way, I must say this, welts and injury given in love. I'm not telling you to go welt and injure your children. I'm just reading the scripture here. But having said that, the old adage proves true. No pain, no gain. Same with working out. Unless you break down your muscle when you're working with weights, you get no growth. I've seen people doing like 100 barbell curls with 100 arm curls, bicep curls with like a nickel in each hand. It's like, oh, it's like, where's your weight? Oh, I got a nickel in each hand. I'm doing 116 reps. That's going to get you nowhere fast. You're better off doing 8 reps with 20 pounds in each hand. Because that will build muscle. No pain, no gain. I'm sorry, but it's true. So this is a real piece of the puzzle of how Christ's welts took away sin. Welts and injury are the scouring agents against evil. And Christ becoming sin was unevil. Broke him down, didn't it? Evil means to break. And blows, he received blows as well, purged the chambers of the inner being. In a way that remains mysterious, I will admit that to you. The blows and the welts scoured away evil, and it was absolutely necessary for the taking away of sin. Christ became sin, but that alone, taking the sin to the tomb and rising without it, as great as that was, that alone couldn't have done the job. It required the welts, the blows, the injury. That's how deep the problem was. The deeper your problem, the deeper the tissue massage. The more vile the criminal, the deeper the discipline must be. The deeper the welts must be. These are tough things to learn, but there's your key right there. Proverbs 20:30. back to the commenter. The discipline of our well-being is on him. This was all productive. God did not hate his son, of course. He was not punishing his son. He was not angry at his son. This was for our benefit. His son didn't deserve any of it. So this was nothing for him. He was just the one that took it for our sakes. He was crushed because of our depravities. He was wounded because of our transgressions. The discipline of our well-being is on him. That still doesn't suggest substitutionary death because, or substitutionary suffering, because the same thing wouldn't have happened if we were to suffer what he did. Same thing wouldn't have happened. Because we weren't carrying the corporate sin of the universe on our backs. And here it is. And with his welts comes healing for us. That's Isaiah 53:5. But it harkens back to Proverbs 20:30. My comment then is, he suffered because of us, yes, but not instead of us. This is my comment to the tangible hope. Where the KJV has punishment, the Concordant has discipline. This is not the same as punishment. It suggests doing what is necessary to bring into line, whereas punishment speaks of satisfying the inflictor of the punishment. Certainly by his stripes we are healed, but this is not punishment on either Christ or us. It is, as I say, God in Christ working for us because we need it. And I'm glad I thought to bring up Proverbs 20:30, because that is what took away the sin. That is what purged. The blows and the welts were necessary. Upon Christ were necessary. Now, I'm just reading you the wisdom book from the book of wisdom. Proverbs 20:30, the book of wisdom. I'm just reading you the book of wisdom. You don't like it? I can't help it. It's the book of wisdom. This is a fact. This is the same guy, Solomon, who said, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. I've heard the most ridiculous, idiotic explanations of that. Well, they used a rod to steer the sheep. So the rod doesn't mean you hit your child. It just means you gently guide him. No, it does mean you hit the child. Exactly what it means. But in a politically correct world where your kids can sue you, I disciplined my kids physically. I did it out of love, never out of anger. Always talked to them, hugged them, tears, loved them, just the whole thing, the whole thing. I was a perfect case study of how to discipline your children. And I raised three upstanding citizens, three great men in the world, because God gave me the wisdom to read the book of wisdom, to take it to heart, to heed it, and not bend to political correctness. Hebrews is a tough book to read sometimes, especially chapter 12, which talks about the discipline of the Lord. This is transadministrational truth here. Doesn't just apply to Hebrews. It applies to the whole human race. For whom the Lord is loving, I'm in Hebrews 12, verse 6, whom the Lord is loving, he is disciplining. It doesn't say he's punishing them. He said he's disciplining them. Yet he is scourging every son to whom he is assenting. Now we're getting more specific. This scourging is what Christ received. And we're speaking figuratively here, metaphorically. It feels like you're getting beaten. Some of the emotional pain I've gone through in my life, it would be much easier to take a beating, a physical beating, and then it's over. But the emotional pain, just a gift that keeps giving. Yet he is scourging every son to whom he is assenting. If he likes you, he's disciplining you. For discipline are you enduring. As to sons, God is bringing it to you. For what son is there whom the father is not disciplining? How many parents you know just refuse to discipline their kids? Because they think it's mean. They think it's unloving. And so the kids get spoiled rotten and they grow up to be criminals and end up in jail. They're the kind of kids I talked about last week that were treated with kid gloves. Yeah, kid. Kind of a play on words there. Were treated with kid gloves when they were growing up. Their parents were easy on them, and they resent it today. The kids actually resent their parents, which is ironic, because the parents treated them lovely lovingly because they wanted them to love them. And yet the child ends up hating them because they did not discipline them. Kids need it. They want lines. They want parameters. They want to be disciplined. They're begging for it. Every time they throw their toy or scream, they're looking at you saying, please stop me. Please fucking stop me. The kid having the tantrum wants to be stopped. They're absolutely miserable. You take them and you discipline them. And it's amazing how fast that solves the problem. Absolutely amazing. And what a deterrent to the future. Peace through strength. What a deterrent to future crimes. I'm telling you, it's hard to do. It's hard to discipline your kids. Very difficult. I mean, corporal discipline. It's hard to do. But nothing is more efficient. And you only have to do it like once or twice. I only had to do it once or twice with my kids. That's it. You've established the law and they respect it. They respect you and they love you for it as the years go by. On the other hand, if you think you're being their best friend and give them whatever they want to eat for breakfast, and if they throw a tantrum, you bend. Hey, listen, if you're going crazy with your kids, there's something wrong. You should be making your kids crazy. Yeah, something went screwy somewhere if your kids are driving you crazy. My kids are driving me crazy. Whenever somebody says that to me, I said, you better flip the script real quick. You're supposed to be driving your kids crazy. And until you take back the streets, you're going to stay crazy and your kids are going to grow up to be criminals. Free parenting advice from Martin Zender. And some of these things can apply within marriages too, to a certain degree. Not corporal discipline, no. But people need to have lines. People need to draw boundaries. People need to respect boundaries. People need to be treated right. And the only reason you will insist on being treated right is if you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you will be walked over. And you think you're doing the person a favor by letting them have their way with you, but you end up resenting them and they end up hating you because you have no backbone. Grow a pair and get a spine. Verse 8, Hebrews 12. Now, if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, consequently you are bastards and not sons. Yes, the word bastard is in the scripture. Concordant version, Hebrews 12, 8. If you're not son of God, then he lets you go and do your own thing, like he's doing to the world now. See, we're his special children, so we get the discipline. And God's leaning on us because of this. This is a transadministrational truth. It works for both gospels. It works in both gospels. It's a general truth. I just like to use the word transadministrational whenever I get the chance. Makes me sound smart. So the world is going to get what they've been missing during the tribulation. And it's not that God suddenly hates them. It's not that God is punishing them. No, they are learning about God. They're coming to the ends of themselves. God is doing to them with the 90-pound hailstones and the scorching heat and the fouled waters. God is doing to them what their parents wouldn't do. And what apparently they couldn't get on their own because God made them vessels of dishonor. So they couldn't respond to your link that you sent them for one of my videos or one of my books. They wouldn't respond to it, so they're stubborn. God made them stubborn, yes. But God can also cure the stubborn of their stubbornness that he gave them by disciplining them. And the tribulation is not punishment, it is discipline. Thereafter, indeed, we had the fathers of our flesh as discipliners, and we respected them. That's just what I'm saying. And this is scripture I'm reading here. We respected our fathers who disciplined us. At the time, we were mad. We were pissed. We were like, you don't love me. No, I love you more than you realize. That's why I'm doing this. Yet shall we not much rather be subjected to the Father of spirits and be living? So if we respected our earthly fathers as adults, we look back and we thank God. I was disciplined as a child. Obviously, I turned out to be an upstanding citizen. I respected my father and my mother for that. And so, will I not even more now respect my heavenly father and be living? My parents caused me to live because they disciplined me. They gave me parameters. They gave me guidelines. They gave me sidelines. I was told when I had to go to bed. I Couldn't stay out all night as a kid. I couldn't set my own bedtime. Couldn't watch whatever TV show I wanted to watch. Yet shall we much rather be subjected to the Father of spirits than be living? Verse 10, for these indeed disciplined for a few days as it seemed best to them. Yet that one, capital O, for our expedience, for us to be partaking of his holiness. Expedience is good for you. Eat your vegetables, they're good for you. Now all discipline, this is a fact. Verse 11, now this is so true. All discipline, indeed, for the present is not seeming to be a thing of joy, but of sorrow. And when you're going through a trial that God has brought on you, every trial God has brought on you, it doesn't seem to be a thing of joy. It's not. It's a thing of sorrow. And it's okay to admit that. God, I hate this. Why are you doing this to me? It's okay. Yet subsequently, it is rendering the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those exercised through it. I will never forget the relief on my kids when they knew they were doing something wrong, and I disciplined them in a real way, real pain, real tears, and then a hug afterwards, crying with them, and then they like floated away. They were relieved of their BS. They were so light. They felt so peaceful. And here it is. Why wouldn't they? This is scripture. The discipline, indeed, for the present, it's not seeming to be a thing of joy. And if you look at my son's face while he's undergoing this discipline, you would not see a face of someone experiencing joy, but of sorrow. Yet subsequently, afterwards, it is rendering the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those exercised through it. And I think of Christ here. Not that he deserved any of it. He did not. And yet he took it for our sakes. And the discipline that came upon him was obviously not a thing of joy. The scourging, the beating, the crucifixion. Yet subsequently, it is rendering the peaceable fruit of righteousness. This is now in a big way. This is applying it in a big way. This is macro. It is rendering, giving the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those exercised through it. And he was exercised through the discipline of the Lord. He's the Son of God. So this applies to him too. And the blessing and the peaceable fruit of righteousness is so out of proportion to the investment, to the pain. Oh my God. Just like when you work out, you're causing pain to that muscle and then you rest the next day. Your muscle's not growing while you're working out, while you're doing the bicep curl with a 20-pound dumbbell. The muscle is actually breaking down. It's when the muscle rests and it builds back. Your body says to itself, this guy might do this again. This crazy what happened to us today. This guy kept doing this repeatedly. If we don't send reinforcements, then if this guy does this again, we're not going to have any muscle left. Send the reinforcements. And so the reinforcements come in to make the muscle bigger and stronger. That's when the growth comes. Afterwards. If you take a film of anyone lifting weights or working out, or if you see my face while I'm running, that's not a great example because I run so slow, but anybody doing resistance training, look at their face. They're in absolute agony. But now look at them at the bar showing off to the opposite sex. Oh, yes, look at them with their shirt buttoned down low and their pecs showing, and they have that sheen on their face knowing that they're in great shape. That's called the peaceable fruit of righteousness, baby. And that goes on and on and on long after the pain is over. Oh, the return on your investment is outrageous. The return on Christ's investment is outrageous, even though it was a terrible thing to go through. Talk about the peaceable fruit of righteousness, the reconciliation of the world to God. Now there's some peaceable fruit. So take that macro picture and apply it to your micro world and think that when I get through this, not if I get through this, I'm going to have such peace and tranquility, and I'll be thankful for everything God did. Everything God did, not to me, but for me.